Well, how secure can secure be? Now, one thing I think that we've learnt this week is that most things have a limit. A dam can only hold back so much water. Raised riverbanks can only go so high. Power plants can only withstand so much fire. And I think we've been reminded this week of just how fragile our world is. The flooding in Lismore has been terrible, hasn't it? I'm sure you've seen pictures too. Houses completely underwater. The water has risen to record levels. We've been to Lismore to... Or I've been to Lismore. I think you have too, haven't you? Yeah, we have. We've got friends who live there. And just to think that the water went 4 metres above the river there is quite something. I mean, if you've ever seen the river in Lismore, you know that it's way down low. And so for it to come up and then over the banks and fill the valley, it's a lot of water. We've been to McLean a number of times, and it seems like the town centre is 1.5 metres underneath the levee that's beside the river there. And we saw pictures this week, didn't we, of the SES filling sandbags and frantically trying to raise the height of the levee. But how secure is that levee? Now, it's easy to feel insecure when there's so much water around, isn't there? Further away from us, the Ukraine, hasn't been free from problems, has it? We've heard again and again the international community calling Russia to stop. We've seen images of people pouring into trains to leave the country, lines to get across the border. Things are uncertain, and there's a complete lack of security for the Ukrainian people. Now, we look at these things, and it can cause us to worry. Maybe even you're feeling a bit anxious as you've watched these pictures and you've thought, well, what does it mean for me? I know that for Corinne and I, we're planning to go to Europe in May. And looking at what's going on is a concern. Do you know, well, what are we going to do? What's Europe going to be like in a few months? Now, for many of us, war in Europe has only been experienced in textbooks, or for many of us, it's been from our grandparents that we've heard stories of the war. But these last few weeks have really brought it home, haven't they? It's made us realise that life isn't perhaps as secure as we think it is, that these things can actually flare up in a flash. And all of this as we feel like COVID's coming to an end. But it seems like even more and more of our friends are contracting the virus, and more of us are without a mask. So go figure. See, our world is a fragile place, isn't it? So how secure is secure? How should we as followers of Jesus respond to these events? Now, in many ways, I feel like living in Wirunga on top of the mountain, up here, it's very high. The water runs off and runs everywhere else. That there doesn't seem to be a lot to worry about, especially with flooding. But at the same time, as I hear about the wars and the virus and the impact that all these events have on us, that maybe we get to feel the weight of some of that. And as I sat and looked at the passage for this week, I want us to look at two verses within that passage that give us great comfort in the middle of all the events around us. And as we look at these two verses, I want you to pray that any anxiety and pressure that you may face right now may dissipate, may ease, because there is great security in knowing the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that life is going to be amazing when you know Jesus, but there is hope when we do. And having hope in the middle of an insecure world is a great comfort. So open your Bibles to John chapter 10. I'm going to give you a little bit of context leading up to chapter 10. We've seen in chapters 8, 9 and 10 last week that Jesus again and again continues to tell the Jews that he is the Christ, that he's the one that they should listen to. But we see over and over again that they don't listen, they don't hear. And we learned last week that it's a result of them not being his sheep. The themes that we've seen since we've restarted John's Gospel keep pushing us to look to Jesus, to recognise who he is, to listen to him, and to let him influence your life. So what's John 10 all about? Well, I want to give you a brief outline of the chapter, and then we're going to narrow in on a couple of verses. Now, the Jews don't like that Jesus says that he is divine. That's the problem. Jesus has told them this for since we've restarted John's Gospel again. And yet in chapter 10, they come to him and they ask him very clearly, "Are you the Christ?" Jesus reminds them of the miracles he's done. He reminds them that he's already told them that he's the Christ. And we sit here wondering, why do they keep asking? What, haven't they heard? I mean, he's told them so many times. And that's the point, isn't it? You see, these Jews don't belong to Jesus and can't hear what he's saying. They only hear the blasphemies from Jesus because he's saying that he's equal with God. They try and stone him, but Jesus says they don't understand. They try and arrest him, and Jesus once again escapes. Now, that's the very basic outline of this passage. Now, we're going to look at verses 28 and 29 now. But it's helpful just to look at those few verses before them because they help us to see one very important thing for verses 28 and 29. So in verse 25, Jesus told the Jews that he does whatever his Father tells him to do. He reminded them that the Jews are not his sheep and therefore they won't believe. He's already told them that he's the Christ and they can't hear that. They can't hear because they're not his sheep, and we get reminded of that. And then in verse 27, Jesus told them that his sheep listen. He knows them and they follow him. Jesus made it very clear that in order to hear Jesus, you need to be one of his sheep. You can't hear him if you're not his sheep. So who are the sheep that belong to Jesus? Now, this is a really important question that each one of us needs to answer. Do you belong to Jesus? Are you one of his sheep? Now, if you're unsure of that answer, then let me explain a few things. You see, a sheep trusts that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross saves you from an eternal life without God. See, we believe that God is involved in this world and his goodness extends to all people, regardless of how they view him. We enjoy family and friends and cars and houses and food, travel, holidays and many more things, don't we? And all of these things are an extension of God's goodness to you. Now, we call it common grace, where God gives good things to everyone without exception. Now, if we imagine a world without God's goodness, without any good thing, well, it would literally be a picture of hell, wouldn't it? Everything good taken away. Now, the Bible teaches us that we all deserve hell. We've rebelled against God. It's called sin. And because of our sin, we deserve to be thrown out of God's presence and we don't deserve any of his grace upon us. Now, for many people, this is a really hard thing to believe. In fact, some people who don't follow Jesus believe that they'll go to heaven once they die. They've heard that heaven is a good place. They believe that they're good people because they haven't done too many really bad things, so that they'll go to heaven. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that it's only when we trust in Jesus' death on the cross for our sins, that we will be set free from our rebellion and given a place to be with God forever. It's only through Jesus' sacrifice that we're free. That's what the Bible says. It's not about whether we're a good person, but it's about trusting the only good person, trusting Jesus. Now, if you're hearing this today and you're unsure if Jesus has paid for your sin or if you want to know more about who Jesus is, then come to me afterwards and let me know. I want to know. This is the best news you'll ever know and it makes an eternal difference. So make steps to know it. And as I think about what I want to say today, it all rides on the back of us knowing Jesus. See, it's from this perspective of knowing Jesus and being able to hear him that these verses that we're going to look at make any sense at all. Now, the two verses we're going to look at are verses 28 and 29, and they tell us that if we listen to Jesus and follow him, then we are completely safe in him. These are Jesus' words. Look at verse 28 and 29. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Now, there's a number of things to see in these two verses, and we need to remember that Jesus is speaking about his sheep that he mentioned in verse 27. These sheep hear, know, and follow Jesus. Now, we heard this last week, that the sheep belong to Jesus. And in verse 27, we can see that Jesus gives the sheep eternal life. Jesus says they will never perish. And in verse 28, Jesus confirms that the Father, who is greater than all, has given him these sheep. And at the end of both verses, we have a similar phrase. No one can snatch them out of Jesus' hand, and no one can snatch them out of his Father's hand. Now, it's a great image here, isn't it? Now, many of us have probably experienced what it feels like to hold someone's hand, to know the security that comes from being held. Now, maybe as a parent, you've taken your child's hand and given them the security that they need in a difficult situation. Maybe you felt the joy that comes from holding a hand or when someone holds your hand. I remember as I left SRE classes in Ashfield, I'd walk through the school and there would be kids everywhere, but dotted all around the place were these little kids all reaching for a parent or a teacher's hand. It's almost instinctive, isn't it? They just, when they get scared or they need help or they're joyful, they just reach for a hand they can trust. And I think holding hands is an expression of a relationship. See, what Jesus says here, no one can snatch the sheep that belong to Jesus. They can't be taken out of his hand or his Father's hand. Two hands. No one can snatch them out of Jesus' hand, and no one can snatch them out of his Father's hand. Now, this is a picture of a secure relationship held by Jesus' hand, held by the Father's hand. Now, of course, this isn't a literal holding of hands that's going on. This wasn't something that occurred when Jesus was walking with his disciples. Maybe they did hold hands. I don't really know. But Jesus is speaking metaphorically about how we're in safe hands. It's a picture of security. It's about him holding us. And in theological terms, we call it perseverance of the saints. And what it means is that once a person comes to know Jesus, they receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit stays with them in life and stands with them till the very end. It means that we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, and even when we fail and make mistakes, the Holy Spirit is right there with us to pick us up, to help us, to get us through whatever may be going on. Now, it's a very reassuring doctrine, isn't it? This is a belief about our relationship with our great God. See, it's about God persevering with us. It's about him holding us, not about us holding him. Now, this isn't something that we only find in John's Gospel. This is something we find in many parts of Scripture. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5 confirms who holds who. I'll wait for you to look that up. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 5. And it says, "Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Now, that's 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5. And in verse 4, you can see there that our inheritance can't perish, spoil, or fade. It's an enduring inheritance that we've come to know and understand as we read the Bible and hear God's wonderful plans for salvation that Jesus has brought each one of us. Now, in verse 5, it uses the word shielded or guarded by God's power. Now, again, this is like having an army around you, being shielded to be kept safe. And that's where your salvation is, guarded by God himself. Two images here, God and Jesus holding us tight, and then there's a guard around us, protecting us. Both images tell of how secure we are when we are one of Jesus' sheep. Now, this is a wonderful picture. If you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Saviour, then you're safe. But like this last week, sometimes life comes at us and we see all the events around us and we're aware of the difficulties that life brings, and maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're tempted to think that the Bible, tempted to do things that the Bible says you shouldn't. You may think that it's all too much for you to maintain. And I want you to see today that there's nothing for you to maintain, because you're safe in God's arms. You're safe in Jesus' arms. And being safe means that we can respond with joy to the salvation that is being kept for you. It means that we can continue to work on trusting Jesus and growing in our understanding of Him. It means that we throw off sin that just drags us down. See, we work hard at all these things because in the end we know that we are safe in Jesus. And some people think that believing that we're safe in Jesus means that we can do whatever we want. Well, that's not what we understand about this. See, we're safe in Jesus, and that means we are safe to work hard and grow our relationship and our understanding of our Father God and Jesus. See, being in a relationship with Jesus is like being married. And I mean the legality of it all. See, it's not an on and off again relationship. You're either married or you're not. You're either in a relationship with Jesus or you're not. But once you're in a relationship with Jesus, He's never going to quit on you and He's never going to let you go. He's brought you into a relationship. He'll keep you safe in that relationship. He died so that you can be in that relationship. And if you're in Jesus, He'll never let you go. He'll always be your Saviour. And this, my friends, is why we give ourselves to Jesus. See, with His own life, He paid the ultimate price to bring you forgiveness. There's no greater cost. Not only does this pay the price for your sins, He also promises to hold you tight in that relationship with Him. And it's for this reason that we're unashamedly followers of Jesus. Because we know that no matter what happens, no one can loosen His grip on us. Now, because of this great and wonderful news that we're safe and secure in His arms, we can be honest and open with God, with the God who holds us tight. We can confess our sin and tell Him how we fail. We can ask for help to stop, and we know that He'll never let us go. It means that when God feels far away, like He's behind a cloud and distant, knowing that He's holding us tight in those moments means that we can take great comfort. We can remind ourselves that He's very close and pray to Him and ask Him for the cloud to be lifted, that we may know His closeness to us and may see Him more clearly. Or perhaps when you're under pressure and things are going wrong, when there seems to be no peace and seeds of doubt start to come in on you, it's when you go through those moments in life that you need to remember that you're being held tight by Jesus, by the One who shed His blood for you. It means that when the world hates you because you're a follower of Jesus, when you feel isolated and people call you a hypocrite, when you hear that it's all made up and full of lies, it's in those moments you can take comfort that knowing Jesus and knowing that He holds you tight. He will never stop loving you and He will never let you go. And this doesn't change when things go well either. We are still held tight by Jesus when things are going well. And really, that's why what I want us to see today, that knowing we are being held tight means that we can give our all to Jesus. We don't need to hold back. We can give our whole lives to Jesus because we are being held tight. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware that this is the first Sunday in Lent. I don't know if any of you practice Lent as a thing. But Lent is a tool that can help us think about our relationship with Jesus. Lent reminds us that we're sinners and that perhaps we need to let go of some things and get our focus on the one who's holding us. So let me ask you a few questions. What is something that you feel you cannot live without? What is something you can't live without? What produces instant happiness for you? What produces instant happiness for you? Or what if you were to lose something? What is something that you would lose? The loss of what would leave you a little bit depressed? Now, these are just a few questions that we can ask ourselves to see what really matters to us. Now, Lent can remind us that perhaps we can let go of some of these things that we hold on tight to and remind ourselves of the grip of Jesus. To let go of what we're holding on tight to and trust that Jesus has us in his hands. If you want to explore that a little bit more, I've got a link that I can send you that may help you to think about where things are at in your life, to help you refocus on the one who has you in his grip. Now, I started out by saying that if you don't know Jesus, then maybe this might not make any sense. And I want to go back to that and remind you that I want to talk to you if you don't know Jesus. I want to read the Bible with you. I want you to understand and know that what Jesus has done for you. I want you to be safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus and God the Father. A place where no one can take your eternal future away from you. So if this is you, come and talk to me over morning tea. Give me a call during the week. Because there's nothing better than to know the loving grip of our great God. Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have us in your hands. Thank you that no one can take us from your grip. Help us to throw off all the things that get in the way of giving our all to you. And we ask that you help us to know you more. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.